1. Looking around, hoping I didn't leave anything out. On the back, I did leave something out. On the back, Brother Mark Clark Sr.'s brother's funeral arrangements are on that back wall. On that back wall. All right, Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us unto the swine, or into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you today, we remember those who are dealing with loss. Father, those who are dealing with difficulty. Father, we think of Sister Barbara Bard at home with her health needs, Lord. I just pray that you be with her. And Father, those, now that we speak of her, Lord, those who are grieving losses of their spouses and family members, Lord, we just pray that you give comfort and healing to those people. Father, be with us now as we turn to your word. Help us to make good study and have good understanding of what it is that you've written. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So we have read Mark chapter 5. Mark talks about a one singular man possessed with many devils who comes and bows down and worships him. And then along in the process as well, the Lord commands the devils to go out. They enter into the swine. They run off the cliff and they die. Matthew chapter 8 verse 28. Matthew chapter 8 verse 28. And it says, And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergeses, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Now, this is among the atheist arsenal one of their favorite verses to go to and say, Aha! There's a discrepancy. Your Bible is a lie. You see here, there are two different areas being spoken of, and we seem to have lost a demoniac. Well, as we're looking at this, number one, we want to see that the Gergeses and the Gadarenes were two completely different things. The city was named Gadara, whereas when we're talking about the Gergeses, we are talking about the area which was called Gerasa. And I am butchering the pronunciations on that, but since none of you are Hebrew scholars, I'm hoping you'll forgive me. It would be the same as me saying, well, we went down to Genesee County and we met across this person. Or we went down to Mount Morris and met this person. Does that make sense? One's describing the area, the others are describing the exact town. Now, as we're looking at this, well, what happened to the other demoniac? This happens sometimes in the Bible. And it doesn't just happen in the Bible. where we begin to tell the story, and sometimes we focus on one person, and sometimes we talk about all the people. Did you hear that we think we have found Amelia Earhart's plane? That's very exciting. I wrote a report in the second grade on Amelia Earhart, so I'm a professional on this. I'm very knowledgeable. They think we found it. Now, did you also know that she was not solo in that plane? There was a male with her. His job was the navigation, and they were flying together. Just do me a favor. I know we don't normally raise hands here, but raise your hand if you knew that there was a man in that plane. Some did. Raise your hand if you had no idea the first time. Yeah, sometimes we do that, don't we? The story was the woman who could sail around or fly around the world, right? Now, that didn't quite fit into the story. It was not necessary to the story. Now, to Mr. Noonan or Doonan, I can't remember exactly his name. Again, second grade. It made a big deal. To his family, it's a big deal. But for the sake of the story, not part of it. As a matter of fact, this happened before. In this one, Matthew mentions two demoniacs, whereas Mark and Luke only mention one. However, if we go over, there's a time where Matthew lists two blind men outside of Jericho, where Mark only refers to Bartimaeus. And of course, we do the same thing with some lepers later, where sometimes there's a number, and then sometimes we're only focusing on the one. And that's not to say that those people didn't exist when we're talking about the one. What we need to understand about the one is there was more story to tell about the one, right? Think of the lepers, the 10 lepers that were cleansed. We know nothing about the other 9. We know a lot about one because there was only one that came to Christ. One came back. There was more story to tell. So that second demoniac, maybe they were there, maybe they went home, maybe they passed out, maybe they fell asleep, we don't know. But we do know about the one that got the attention of the Lord and sat there and took clothing and took food and took instruction from Christ. So again, I always chuckle about these inconsistencies people claim there are in the Bible. There's nothing going on in the Bible that we don't do today. This is like the navigator in Amelia Earhart's plane. Wasn't part of the central story. They're there, but it's not somebody who gets brought up a lot. And in this particular case, we tend to focus, when one is focused upon, it's always the one that was saved. Right? So when you're looking through and you say, well, this book says 2, this book says 1, this book says 10, but only one shows up, it is always because we're focusing on the one who came to the Lord. Now, why? Remember what the Bible says. The book itself could not contain all the things that Christ did. Could you imagine a Bible so big that talked about every miracle, that talked about every conversation? The Lord preserved for us and had written for us the things that we could immediately learn from. Not that there wasn't anything to learn from other things, but in His wisdom, He said these things. So we're not going to focus on the second one. We're going to focus on the one that came to Christ, the one that received salvation. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at this singular guy. Why? Because even though we knew there started off as two, we've got no idea what happened to the other guy. Did he fall asleep? What happened to him? We don't know. But what we do know is that one paid attention. Again, referring back to the 10 lepers, one said, tell me more. There's a lot of people today that turn to God for convenience. Lord, please let me win the lottery. Let me please be healed of this disease. There's that old television trope of, I know we haven't spoken in a long time, but. I always roll my eyes at that. Hey, I've abandoned you in my behavior. I've abandoned you in my heart. I've never had anything to do with you. But now that I can get something out of you, I want to ask you for it. And inevitably, when the Lord does His will and they don't get their way, well, what kind of God is this? They will not answer when I rub the magic lamp of prayer. No, this person, they came back to they came back, they wanted to know. So when everybody left, when everybody took off after the pigs dove off of the cliff, when everybody came back, there's this guy who chose to sit and listen and hear. What we see here is a story where two were freed. This was a very nasty problem. It was a very disgusting problem. The devil, he likes to get himself into places. I saw a picture today, and it kind of stuck with me. It was a picture of a great horned demon beast thing. I'm assuming the artist meant for it to be the devil, but that's not the way he looks. But he's sitting there with rainbow flags reading stories to children. During this time when Jesus walked the earth, this kind of demon possession was normal. Today, demons take a different track. Now, do they still do this? Hey, listen, I don't have a tracker on them. I don't know where they are, what they're doing. But I'll tell you this, they are in the public eye. We see their influence on people. We see some of the just awful stuff going on in this world and the trickery and the lies and the terrible stuff that we're seeing. But this devil is sitting in a classroom surrounded by kids, rainbows everywhere, and he's reading to them. Well, we could put that very same character looking very attractive, being very charismatic behind a pulpit. We could put that person behind a desk at the White House. The devil is in everything, and he is ruining everything, isn't he? He's just ruining everything. And there's no rhyme nor reason for us when we see the stuff that they're doing. Why are we teaching kids this? Why are we suddenly confused about what human physiology is? Why are we so confused on abortion? Why do we get these things so out of whack? Why do we see families the way? We ask these questions. We have 1,000 different questions we can ask. But the answer is the same as the devil is eroding this world. And he's looking ever so attractive while doing it. So we see the damage. We see the problem. These guys here, we see kind of the issues that they were dealing with in this. The being thrown down, the cutting on themselves. And there's one particular one that we were looking at where day and night, he is up. Anybody here, you ever suffer from a lack of sleep? You ever go a few days without it? I'm sure you all have, one way or the other. And how does your brain feel? It's nasty, and that you don't even have a devil rocking around in there, and you feel terrible. And that is what these people are dealing with. And this particular one, as we are speaking about him, he's up, he's howling, he's screaming. We see there were no chains could bind him, which means what? His behavior was so erratic, somebody tried. Somebody tried to chain him down. I was getting a haircut, and it must have been this police officer's time to get a haircut. Now, me, I've never been in trouble a day in my life with the law. Never. With my mom and my teachers all the time. But with the law, never. This cop came in, and he had to stand at least 8 foot, 9 foot tall. Ducked to get in the door, had his full belt on, swung into the parking lot. I saw him swing into the parking lot real fast, and he had some urgency about him. And he didn't open the door. He pulled that door, hey! And he didn't say anything, but he's just looking. And he's looking at us in the chairs, and he's looked over at the barbers, and he goes, where is he? Right? Right? Now that's my perspective. He was looking for his barber. His barber went on vacation and didn't tell him to cancel the appointment. I'm sitting here thinking either me or this guy in the chair is in trouble, and we just don't know it yet. Just very, hey, you know? I've never been arrested, never been handcuffed, but man, you'd know it, right? That'd be a very intimidating position to be in. This man's had chains on him, and he broke them apart. Like they were nothing. You understand the pain and the discomfort and the trouble? This man lived among the tombs. Now, back in the 90s, there were some kids who liked to paint their faces white and cover their eyes with black paint and hang out in cemeteries. But when they got cold, they went on home to the beef stroganoff mom made and to their warm beds that they didn't have to pay for. They went back and they lived in comfort, but I couldn't imagine living in a cemetery being something anyone would want. Nobody would want that. He was living a terrible life. And these two, they were freed from what was a bad problem, but was a temporary problem. Any problem you have with your body, with your mind, with your whatever, it's a temporary problem. Whatever happens stays here on earth. Now we say temporary, sometimes you're dealing with issues for 40, 50, 60 years, but when we go to heaven, it's left behind. We got a more permanent problem. That's what happens after we die. And this very temporary problem, two people were freed from it. But I firmly believe only one of them was truly changed. Because only one of them's ever truly mentioned as having changed. And we know what that change is. That change being salvation. Where not only were the devils pulled out, not only were the demons cast away, but a soul was saved. And we know what that freedom is like. We know what that is. And I'm only trying to imagine a guy being in the worst shape a person could possibly be in one moment. And in the next moment, there he sits with the Son of God. I mean, you got, as he approached, as the Lord approached, what did the demons do? They fell down and worshiped inside of him. Hey, what do they call him? The Son of God. Those demons, they knew very well who they were in the presence of. And could you imagine this man sitting there, you're the Son of God, you're the Messiah. And having the salvation, again, going from the lowest to the utmost highest a person could be in. You know, I don't think that the utmost highest position a person could be in is stacks of cash or mansions or fancy jets to travel them around all over the place. I don't think that's the height of success. I think salvation is. Not that you've accomplished anything, of course, but man, if you're looking to be in the best position you can be in, salvation is it. Because it doesn't matter what you lose here on earth, they can't take that from you. And it always gets better on the other side. So one was changed. We see that change taking place through a salvation we've experienced. This old way of living. You know, I can't imagine how this man was getting food. I'm sure people were bringing stuff to him, and I couldn't imagine how he was getting food, coming down at night, grabbing food, or if he was eating much at all. Could you imagine going that long, not showering? Man, I could not imagine not showering. It gets to be a certain degree of heat outside. I'll shower twice. You know what I mean? He's going days out in the stink of the graveyards. And he's not wearing proper clothing because he's a wild man. Many of us, we've made that transition. Not as far as he goes. But we've dressed differently. We've acted differently. We've ate where we've never eaten before. We're talking about spiritual things, of course. We've experienced that dramatic shift. And it's important that while we're reading the Bible, while we're studying the Bible, we step into it like that's our reality too. Like you're sitting there and there's the apostles going, you'll be all right, man. Here's an old rope. Peter, give me that belt. All right, here we go. Now, we got some bread over. Thomas got some bread. All right, Thomas, come over, feed him up. And the Lord's teaching him and talking to him. And he's sitting there and all these things are being pressed upon him. And hey, go down there, get some water for him. And they're setting him up and there he is reasoning with Jesus, a man who before had no reason whatsoever, nothing in his mind, no logic, no way of thinking that made any kind of sense. And yet there he was. As we continue reading, he says something very interesting to them as they are set to go away. You have to forgive me as I find it. Verse 18, and when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. The man who was too wild to fit into society. The man who had too many problems was looking around going, I don't want to stay here anymore. These people are crazy. You think about that. Now, brother, what makes you think that there was a problem with the people? Well, in this particular area of Gadara, it was a Jewish-held city. It was a Jewish area filled with Jewish people. Now, what are the rules for the Jews and what they could or could not eat? Think about it. What were the things that the Jews could or could not keep? What kind of animals could they or could not keep? As a matter of fact, a pig, very high on the list of animals that we would consider as unclean. So what are we doing with 2,000 of them on a hillside? Right? There were people who were sliding away. Right? To the tune of 2,000 of unclean animals. Now, I'm not saying that the Jewish people were good at following their own rules. I've often experienced people who love the Lord or claim to love the Lord falling away from the rules. But it's not a good sign. It's not a good indicator. And I always love the sweet poetry of unclean spirits going into an unclean animal. Now you understand why the spirits did not want to go yet, because in their verbiage, before our time or before the time. Now we know what time that is. That's when the Lord's done with letting them walk around the world and he sends them to hell. Why are you coming here to bother us before that time? Don't send us there now. Put us into the swine. Unclean spirits, unclean animals. And when we look at this world, we see a lot of unclean spiritness. We see a lot of unclean things happening around us. From the way drunkenness is encouraged in our society, to the legalization of mind-altering drugs, to what we're doing in our schools, what we're doing in our politics, we have issues. Even to walk down the street, to see the people and the things that are going on with them, it is very devastating. You see footage of what it's like in cities. Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh just announced that they are no longer sending the police out for non-active emergencies. So if somebody comes and they burgle your house and they're not still sitting in your house, doing what? Eating a sandwich? I don't know what they're supposed to be doing. But if somebody's burgling your house and they're running off, they're not going to show up to that. You have to file a police report over the phone. Now, does that make that makes me uncomfortable. You know, there was a documentary that we recently watched on the Flint Police Department. Doesn't make me very comfortable. When we see things going on in California, as long as you don't shoplift past $950, it's a misdemeanor. Could you imagine walking out with $950 worth of stuff and it's a slap on the wrist? And we are headed in the wrong direction. We are seeing terrible things. And it's easy for us to look at those things and say, Lord, can I come with you? I'm done. I can't remember what it was. Somebody sent me a message this week, something that they saw on the news. I said, that's it. Stop the world. I want to get off. I want to get off, as the Bible says, even so, come Lord Jesus. This is getting too far. And we sit there, we say, man, it is difficult to live in these situations. It is difficult to live among these people. And even so, it would have been even more difficult for this man because he's living among people who only ever knew him as the crazy guy up in the hill. That's all he would ever be. Somebody asked me one time, well, would you ever feel comfortable being the pastor at Flat Rock? I go, absolutely not. Because I'll always be the kid. Always be the kid on the van. Always be the kid that accidentally broke one of the light fixtures, throwing a dodgeball. Always be that goofy kid. Always be that nerdy kid. Always be that scrawny kid that got really big for some reason. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard to escape such things. I've known some pastors that have a hard time going back to preach at the church because they've got cute pet names for them because they grew up there, you know? It is very hard to still be in the area where you've got a bad reputation. But when the Lord saves you, it's a little bit different because now you're looking around going, this is not a good space for me to be in. This is not a good, this is not where I want to be. We see the Lord's command back to him. No, you got to stay. Stay and be a witness. But I want to stop and consider the very miracle it was that the demoniac wanted to go. He wanted to go with the Lord. And I feel bad calling him a demoniac. I wish they would have given us his name, but the Lord knows best. He wanted to go. And we can think of all kinds of reasons as to why. Maybe he didn't like it there. Man, these people, they're not doing it right. You know, 2,000 pigs out here, this is no good. These people, and we see their reaction. Their reaction is vehement, is borderline violence. Now, of course, there was nothing legally they could do. And I thought about this long and hard. There was nothing legally they could do against Jesus for the slaughter of these 2,000 pigs. You want to know why? Because it was still technically illegal to have them. I thought about that. That's very curious. It's very interesting. The reason why they got all bustly, but they didn't go to the law over it, was because to those that would believe, they have no legal standing. Now, that would be like me calling the police saying, hey, Brother Mike came over and stole my tank. You know, my tiger tank, you know, my great big tiger tank, came over and stole it. Well, it's illegal for you to have that. What was it? Wasn't there a lady in the news? She got caught up for that. She called 911 because somebody stole the cocaine she was selling. They were stuck. But it's an earmark of how bad the society was. When we're okay, when we're perfectly okay with breaking the laws of God, and we're perfectly okay with the diseases that the swine would have, we're perfectly okay with these things. We know what it's like to sit there and see this world and decide that it's time for us to go and decide that it's not something we want to be around. But folks, we need to be here. A flashlight cannot leave the area because it's too dark. Salt cannot leave because the dish is too bland. Our very purpose is to be here and change and affect and give the gospel to the society around us. To be those people that stand up and say, no. No, that's wrong. No, this is a terrible thing. What you guys are doing will not only anger God, but it will destroy our nation. It will destroy our society. So whether we like what's going on around us or we have a high opinion of the people doing the things, I think one of the biggest motivators here, and probably the star, the gold star reason why he wanted to go with Jesus, is because he wanted to be with him. Amen. What do you read your Bible for? I pray you read your Bible because you want to walk with him for a while. What do you pray for? Not the things that you pray and asking for, but what's the purpose of your prayer? Well, we're about to eat. We got to pray. Right? Well, we're about to head into the doctors, so we got to pray. I hope you're praying because you want to be with him. We talked about this on Sunday. Why should we be here? Because we want to be with him. For all the other reasons, for everything else, I want to be with him. That's why I read. That's why I pray. That's why you surround yourself with Christian music and Christian entertainment, because I want to be with him. I got into a debate with somebody one time. They said, well, it's not that bad. What I'm doing is not that bad. And I challenged him. I said, go 1 week. No secular music, no secular television, just hymns, good old-fashioned gospel music. And just focus on prayer and reading your Bible. Go 1 week. Shut all that stuff off. You don't have to become a monk. You don't have to take the week off. Just turn that stuff off for 1 week. And they said, well, what's going to happen? I go, one of two things will happen. Either number one, you can't do it because you're addicted to the stuff. Now, when I say addicted, I mean that loosely. It means your flesh doesn't want to give it up, so you don't give it up. I go, number two, you're going to experience a really good week. And he did it, and guess what? It was a good week for him, he said. It's a good week. It'd be like me telling you this, hey, go 1 week without junk food. And the same thing that would happen to you physically would happen to you spiritually. The difference that is made when we walk with God instead of playing around with the devil is huge. It's not just about preaching down rock music or preaching down movies. I saw they had another one of those Hollywood award shows. I was sitting there and the advertisement or somebody was giving a report on it. Had a man naked on stage. Aren't you glad? Aren't you happy to be associated with that stuff? Well, they were talking about my favorite movie. I had to see if my favorite movie or my favorite actress or my favorite actor. Man, if we knew the stuff these people were pushing and doing, if we just took a break. We do that from time to time in our house, sometimes for a week. Sometimes we've done it for a month. Danielle and I have done it at different times. Just shut it off. We call it a media fast. Phones ain't for nothing but calling. Only music we play is godly music. We're not sat down saying, you know what? Those are good months. Those are hard months. Those are great months, great weeks, great days. Why? Because we left to no other distraction. Our hearts turn to God. That's one of the things why I push camp so hard is because it's important for Christians to see the effect that that stuff has on them. Because by the time they've made it to Friday morning, they've experienced a more closeness with God than they have at home. Why? Because their churches ain't good? No. Because God can't work off the mountain? No. Because they've shut off the stuff that's poisoning them for 1 week. They shut off the stuff that's poisoning them for 1 week. A week without poison does the body good. I don't have any scientific facts for that, but doesn't it sound good? So it's so important. Somebody told me a long time ago, they worked in the hotel industry, and they asked me, and they said, hey, listen, I work at the hotels, yeah. And there was this big church, and I go, okay. And they were having a big conference, yeah, okay. And they told me the kind of movies that were being rented and how many more during that time than there was at any other time during the year. And I go, yeah, that happens. And they're like, well, do you justify that? I go, no, it's sin. But people love their poison. Now, we're not talking rated R movies. We're not talking violent movies. I think you get what I'm trying to say here. There's a disgusting kind of entertainment that was downloaded. Why? You know, why is it when they're having a men's retreat over there, that's what people are renting? Because people put poison into their minds. And despite the fact that God says, do it, don't do it, we're still keeping the swine around. Despite the fact that we have proven the dangers behind it, God's people still keep the swine around. We need to take it off. We need to get rid of it. So many people wonder, well, why did the pigs have to jump off? Because they weren't supposed to have the pigs. God was getting a two for one there. He was cleansing the man and he was cleansing the land. Get rid of them. Now, of course, after that, as we heard down in the Bible conference, now we're able to eat both. So I'm not preaching against your bacon. And if you still feel convicted to throw it out, let me know. I'll come over and collect it to make sure it's disposed properly. But when we allow ourselves just a little bit, we end up taking a lot. You know, that's that old adage, you give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. You give him your music, he'll take your movies. You give him your movies, and he'll take every genre you could possibly imagine. Well, not me, brother. He's getting you somewhere. He's getting you somewhere. We cracked that door open just a little bit. He's getting you somewhere. So we see there again just that desire. Let me turn away from all these things. I never want to see these tombs again. I never want to see these people again. I never want to walk around in this muddy, pig-infested area again. I mean, you got to figure, where were those swines? They weren't afar off, which meant that this man was literally living in close to the same situation as the prodigal son. He never wanted to see it again. We need to have a desire to be with God instead of the disgusting things we have here on earth. Not that we would leave this earth and go to Him, but that in our hearts and our minds we would walk close to Him. Because I tell you what, there's nothing wrong in a long life. We ought to shoot for it. Why? Because of what the Lord says to him. Stay and be a witness. Stay and be evidence. Verse 19, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friend. Our job is to be here and to be a witness to our friends. You know, sometimes this life, it can beat us up pretty hard. Our prayer requests this week, man, I'm telling you, rough. Terrible. It gets difficult. Especially for those of you living in grief or constant pain, it is difficult. Be evidence that God can do wonderful things to people in difficult times. Could you imagine the look on those friends' faces when here he comes, buttoned up, comes back down all clean. I'm back! Dude, we thought you were gone. You were up there, your mind was gone. Do you remember when you did this? No, man, I don't remember much of that time, but I tell you what, it's good to be back. Well, how? What happened? What happened to you out there that now you're fine? The Son of God came and He kicked out all the demons that were inside of me. And now I've got my mind back. Some of the biggest witnesses we can be is when we are being beaten up and we can still reveal the strength God has given us. Again, not something pleasant. We don't want to be able to sit there and go through those things. But when you do have to go through those things, God's going to give you strength. And if you're going to have that strength, you might as well use it as a witness. How are you still functioning? By the grace of God. How'd you get up this morning with everything going on? By the grace of God. And we show that to our friends. We show that to our families. It says, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. See, it's not just the great things that we show off that the Lord has done. It's His compassion. I love it when people, when I'm giving the gospel, and I've got to be careful saying I love it, but people say when I'm giving the gospel, you don't know how bad I've been. You don't know the things I've done. I sit there and I chuckle and I go, I don't have to. Let me show you a Savior who cares nothing for a man so riddled with demons that he can barely stand. Let me show you a Savior who is so filled with compassion that he took the least socially acceptable woman in the town, met her by the well, and saved her soul. Let me tell you about the Savior who, even though there was a man persecuting his people and his churches, the Lord still deemed to save him while he was on the road to persecute his people and make him one of the most prolific writers in the Bible. That's the God we have. And hey, even though I bring very little to the table as far as He's concerned, even though there's not a need He has that I can provide for, He still lets me serve Him. And when I'm having a bad day, He steps in to help. That's the God I serve. Who when on nights I should not feel peace among the storms going on in my heart, there is still peace. That amid the sorrow, the frustration, the weeping, there is still a spark of joy in my heart. That's how compassionate my God is. We need to talk about the compassion of the Lord. Well, you don't know me. See, that's the wonderful thing. I don't have to know you. God knows you. I love what that woman at the well said. He told me all the things I had done. See, we're not like that in public, are we? If we know something bad about somebody, we don't say it to their face. We say it behind their backs, right? Yeah, you have five husbands, and the guy she's with, he says, "Oh yeah, no, I know your situation. I know your situation." Lord could have called forth water out of the air, the cleanest, purest, crispest. Anyway, the best water you could imagine. Pull it straight out of the air into a beautifully sculpted glass. And he was waiting by the town well. You know what I mean? He knew her. He knew what she was about. He knew the smell coming off the demoniac before he got off the boat. And he still got off the boat and went over to him. And he knew every lousy thing about you and me. And he still went to that cross. We were talking in the back, you know, the churches. Go, hey, 15-minute preaching, and we got the songs and the dances, and look under your pews, and someone's going to get a prize today, and we'll pack them in. We're going to show a movie on this day and a movie on that day, and all the moms that come in on Mother's Day get cars. I'm not against it, but men, if that's what we're going to do, we got to start collecting now. We see, what are those? Those are gimmicks. Those are things. You know what people really need to hear about? The compassion of our Lord Jesus Christ. The compassion he has. Well, I think God's mean because when I was a kid, I asked for this to happen and it didn't happen. Or when I was an adult, this terrible thing happened. I wonder, why would God allow this to happen? Like we're not the ones pulling the trigger on these things. Like God's not sitting there with us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. If there was a God for whose principles we were standing and why did God let them tie us up? Why did God let us drag us over? Why did God let them drag us over to the furnace? No, it was in the furnace. He saw them. They saw him. And so often, that's where we're going to see him too, is in the furnace. And we might not want to be in the furnace. So the Bible says it didn't hurt him, didn't singe him, didn't do nothing to him. But man, I would still not want to be in there for any longer than I had to, save for the fact that that's where God seemed to be. This man had a desire to go with the Lord. But what was more important for him was to stay where he was and to be a witness to those that needed to hear it. You might not be as bad as this man, nor his compatriot was. Excuse me. But people can tell the difference in you. And that is the difference that people need to see. The Holy Spirit can work with that. He can lead people by the example you give. So this quiet Christianity, this sitting in the back, it's not what we're called for. We need to be much more. Great things have been done for us. So we can show what great things. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you be with us, encourage us, strengthen us. Help us, Lord, to see the need that people have. And Lord, help us to be grateful every day for the great change you've brought over our lives. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.